So just a little bit about Zechariah. So this is a guy who I really love in the scripture. I guess partly because he just doesn't know when to keep his mouth shut. So what happened is Zechariah and Elizabeth were old. In fact, they were well beyond when it was reasonable to expect that they could have a child. And kind of in this moment when Zechariah is a priest in the temple. He's not the priest. He's not the high priest. He's just a priest. He's pretty ordinary kind of character. There were lots of priests who would go in and do their thing. And it mattered. I mean, it was an important position, but it's not like being Caiaphas or something like that. So he's in one day, and the angel Gabriel appears to him and says, Zechariah, I got great news for you. Elizabeth is going to conceive, and she's going to have a child. And this is going to be the child who is to be the one about who Isaiah prophesied. So Zechariah, in all of his wisdom while talking to the angel, says, how do I know this is going to actually happen? Yep, bad idea. You don't say that to an angel. The angel says, you know, I am the angel Gabriel. I am standing in the presence of God, and you just kind of made God mad. So what we're going to do is we're going to strike you silent. You won't be able to talk now until all that I have promised comes true. And so Zechariah comes out, and people are obviously had some kind of a vision because he comes out and he can't speak. And I'm thinking it's going to be at least 9 months, and the guy doesn't get to say a word. It's like his mouth doesn't work, and I just try to imagine me being 9 months without being able to talk. I would not like that. I talk all the time. It's what I do. Is I talk, and I oftentimes talk when people just don't even want me to. But here's Zechariah. Maybe for a while he tries to wrestle with it, and maybe for a while he writes lots of notes trying to communicate. But after a while, he accepts himself as for this season of his life, and God knows how long it will be, that he is not going to be able to speak. And he finds himself in an interesting wilderness in his own life. He finds himself in a place that he doesn't exactly know how to be. And Elizabeth does become pregnant, and in her pregnancy, about 6 months into it, she's visited by Mary, who herself has discovered that she's with child, and they have this wonderful dialogue between them. And there's all of these things that are happening in Zechariah's house, and he's not able to speak to them. He's not able to tell people about them. He has to hold them deeply in his heart, and he needs to just kind of open himself up to what God is doing in the world. And he has a lot of time. He has a lot of time to think. He has a lot of time to think about what he will say when the day comes for him to have his voice again. And so as he spends this time in this kind of wilderness, things unfold as the angel promised, and Elizabeth gives birth to this child. And there's a promise made with this child, even before he is conceived, that he will be set aside into a group known as the Essenes, and he will be given over to people who will raise him in the wilderness. And in his entire life, he will never have a haircut. He will never have his beard trimmed. He will grow, and he will learn, and he will spend time in quiet solitude as he explores what it is that God would do with his life. And so when Zechariah pronounces this song, he is standing at the end of months of thinking about what he is going to say about this baby that is coming into his life. And I have never had the joy of being a parent, but there's a piece of me that's profoundly envious of those of you who are parents. Because even with, you know, my nephews and nieces and great-nephews and nieces and people close to me and the children born, the sense of astounding possibility that is present in a baby born. This sense that this child, my child, our child, will be able to become most anything, and I know that this child would be miraculous. And I know those of you who are parents in here, and I've been with you, some of you, in the journey of coming there, and I've talked with many of you about your dreams for your own children. And I know how profound and powerful is the dream of a parent. And I love this passage. I love this passage I come over and sit by Adeline, and she looks me in the eye, and she knows more about me than I think I know about myself. And watching Andrew as Andrew does his thing, and Jason and Benjamin as he's forming in the womb, and just this astounding beauty of birth. I remember CW when he was, you know, a babe in arms, and Skylar, and, you know, I can just kind of look around this church and see those who were babies who are now growing into their lives and into their potential, and the miracle that is each life. And don't exactly know how it's all going to go. I even remember when Robert was, when you first brought him in here, and I think Robert still has a record for attending the most Sundays in his life, and, you know, and our lives, our dreams, our hopes that we wrap up and we place inside our children, and Zachariah is doing this exact same thing, and he is not wanting his child to be the Messiah. He's wanting his child to be one who promises to live. He wants his child to be one who holds the promises that belong to us. The promises that came to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. The promises that came to David and Solomon and Absalom. The promises that came to Isaiah and Jeremiah and Malachi. The promises that have been with us as God has unfolded God's purpose in the midst of community. Zechariah holds this promise for his child, that he will be one who will live his life such that he will prepare the way for all that God is capable of doing in the world. What a beautiful thing a child is. What a beautiful hope. If we take time to think about the beauty of our own children and the beauty of children not our own who hold the world tenderly for us and inherit from us our dreams, our hopes, our possibilities, and to whom we trust the world as it unfolds, praying and hoping that they can do even a better job than we have with the precious lives entrusted to them, that place of children, that place of looking at the young lives as they unfold and as they become and as they form and build the hope of all people. Zechariah held a dream for his son John. And that dream we learn a little bit more about in the second passage today. So the second passage begins like this. It says, in the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius. When Pontius Pilate was the governor of Judea and Herod, the ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, the ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of the Lord came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And John went to all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be lifted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall become straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of our God." 30 years, roughly, John was in the wilderness, being raised by a cloistered group who spent much time in prayer and study. These are the people who wrote what we know of as the Dead Sea Scrolls. These are the people who held the history of the people and the God's promise to the nation Israel. They held it in a way that as the empires of people move and come and go and flow and are empowered and are destroyed by the violence that is part of empire, these are people who set themselves aside to protect that which is permanent, that which is more important than issues of power. These are the people that hold the holy scriptures, the promises of God, and seek to guarantee their survival through all time because the word of God is important. And we see, as Luke begins his gospel, you got Emperor Tiberius and Pontius Pilate, you got Herod and Philip. You got Caiaphas. You got the important people. There's really, really important people on the stage here. This is a time when the world is significant, where so-and-so is the leader of the world, and another is the leader of our community, and another is the leader of the community next door, and they don't necessarily like each other. And there's all these really important people in the world, and in the world, there is somebody's child. Zechariah. Who's that? One of the little people. Yeah, not teeny people. He was a priest and all. But that was a long time ago, and his son John, and they kind of gave the kid over, and the kid went out in the wilderness, and there's this child who held a dream of transformation of the world that God was going to do as God completed and honored the promises he made to all the people. There's this person named John in the wilderness, and when all of these important people were filling their positions of extreme power, God sent word to this John, somebody unknown in the community, somebody essentially forgotten by Judah, somebody who lived out in the wilderness, who wore a robe of camel hair. He ate locust and wild honey. He studied, and he learned, and he prayed. And the word of God came to him and told him it was time to begin his ministry. And so he goes to the region of Jordan, not going into the heart of Jerusalem, not going into the place where where power lays. He just goes to the area of the Jordan, the border, as far away from the power of Israel as you can be. He just goes to the Jordan and he begins to speak his message. And people respond. And next week we'll talk more about that, but people respond, and he has a message, and this message is a message of repentance. And people hear his message. People in Galilee, right there alongside the Jordan, and then people from Jerusalem. And then people from all of Judea, and people from even way beyond Judea, they hear about his message. Just a guy, an unknown, somebody's child who believed in his possibility. This child, John, speaks a message, and it is a message of repentance. A message that simply asks, is the person you are the person God intended you to be? His message is really that simple. Repentance is really that simple. Is the person you are the person God intended you to be? Is the person you are the person that your parents dreamed when they blessed you at your circumcision or your baptism? Is the person you are the person you want to be in your deepest self? Repent. For the kingdom of God is drawing near. And once again, in the season of Advent, we have the possibility to remember who we are and how God would choose for us to be. Let us pray. Lord God, in the darkness of this season, as the days are so short and the nights are so long, and as we try to break the foreboding of the darkness by streams of lights on Christmas tree in our houses, as we seek to overcome the darkness with power and energy, may we also find the wisdom to enter into our darkness, into the silence, into the night, and discover once again the dreams that you held for us at our birthing. We pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.